When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Factor. If you want to eat better this year and are looking for fast, healthy, restaurant-quality meals that are ready to eat and easy on your budget, Factor is the perfect solution. Sign and save right now by going to factormeals.com/talktv50 and use code TALKTV50 to get 50% off your order. That's code TALKTV50 at factormeals.com/talktv50 to get 50% off.
Hello, everybody. This is Joe Franklin from Memory Lane. I want to tell you, you're listening to Ed Robertson on TV Confidential. It's one of my very favorite listening habits. I urge you to keep listening to Ed. He's the best of the best in the talk show field. Ed, congratulations.
Ed Robertson, a reminder that legendary record producer Simon Napier Bell will join us later on the hour. We hope you stay tuned for that. And speaking of the British invasion, we'll continue with more of our special edition of The Sounds of Lost Television, which Phil Grice and I took a look at how network television news covered the arrival of the Beatles in the United States in February 1964. This segment originally aired January 2014.
The Beatles, who started their act at the waterfront pubs of Liverpool, are now clicking off $5,000 a week in one-night stands. They have sold 2.5 million records. They lead the hit parade. They get the biggest fan mail on record. They have inspired the sheepdog hairdo. They are also credited with having saved the sagging British corduroy industry. And besides being merely the latest objects of adolescent adulation and culturally the modern manifestation of compulsive tribal singing and dancing, the Beatles are said by sociologists to have a deeper meaning. Some say they are the authentic voice of the proletariat. Some say they are the authentic heart of Britain in revolt against the American cult of pop singers represented by Elvis Presley and the long line of his British imitators. Some say the Beatles represent authentic British youth, or British youth as it would like to be, self-confident, natural, direct, decent, vital, throbbing. The Beatles themselves seem to have no illusions. They symbolize the 20th century non-hero as they make non-music, wear non-haircuts, give non-mercy. And meanwhile, yeah, the fan mail keeps rolling in, and so does the money. This is Alexander Kendrick in Beatleland.
Alexander Kendrick giving a non-report on the non-music of the Beatles. The originally aired November 21st, 1963 on the CBS Evening News. Audio courtesy of our friend Phil Grice, ATVAudio.com. Again, very interesting, Phil. This is the word that just pops into my head. It's authentic because it is, at one point, they were interviewed in their dressing room, either just before or just after they took the stage. And this is, even already experts were trying to make sense and, you know, extract meaning from it, whereas, you know, John, Paul, George, and Ringo, they're in the moment. They're just figuring, okay, we're just doing our thing.
While both CBS and NBC did show footage from the Winter Gardens Theater in Bournemouth, what makes this production so unique was that there was an interview with the Beatles in their dressing room, which NBC did not do. So even though CBS is 3 days later, John Dorsett, the reporter who interviews the Beatles, that was extremely refreshing because we're hearing from them off stage and getting a little bit of their feedback. I love when Paul says he was asked, do you think audiences will tire of you soon? I mean, they just began.
No.
And then Paul says, you know that's stupid to worry about that.
Yeah.
So right. And as we know, it's 50 years later, and they certainly are iconic and legendary.
Now, let's go back to something I think you said this in our first segment. Okay, this The CBS clip that we just heard aired November 23rd, 63. Was it in October that Sullivan happened to see them perform, or was it early in 63?
In 1963, October 31st, okay. That is when Ed Sullivan signed them and saw them at Heathrow Airport. So it's prior to these November broadcasts.
So he just happened to see them at the airport.
Yeah, it was fortuitous.
Okay, so he didn't see them perform, but he knew where they were. And,
right. And they were getting some play in America, but it was going nowhere. They were huge in England, but not anywhere near that success in America up until the point where they started getting this press coverage. And certainly once they went on the Sullivan Show, you know, history has changed.
Okay, so Sullivan spots the Beatles at Heathrow Airport in London, October 31st, 64, makes the deal.
63,
makes the deal. Let's fast forward to February 7th, 64, the Friday before their appearance on the Sullivan Show. We're going to listen to Mike Wallace cover the arrival of the Beatles at John F. Kennedy Airport.
CBS Morning News, the day the Beatles arrive at JFK Airport.
We don't know really.
If we knew, we'd form another group and be managers.
Aren't you afraid of what the American Barbers Association is going to think of you?
Well, we've run quicker than the English ones. We'll have a go here.
You didn't
hope to get a haircut at all?
No.
I had one yesterday.
No lie.
You should have seen
them
the day before.
Yeah, man. Let's talk that you represent some kind of a social rebellion.
It's a dirty lie. No, dirty lie.
Do you think there's any sociological...
I see it, but I don't believe it, said a veteran airport worker. Said a longtime airport policeman, I think the world has gone mad.
Mike Wallace reporting on the CBS Morning News Friday, February 7th, 1964, 2 days before the Beatles' historic appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show, audio courtesy of Phil Grice, ATVAudio.com. What was very striking for me, Phil, is just listening to the rapport during the impromptu press conference and just listening to them play with the reporters. It reminded me of a lot of the dialogue and the feel of Hard Day's Night, where they're just having fun. And you don't know what's scripted and what's not, but it's just fun.
You know, they were really having a good time.
Yeah.
They were not taking all of this very seriously. And they were constantly being harassed, in quotes, about their haircuts. I mean, everything was about the Beatle mop and the Beatle haircut. I love when, at the end of that piece, Mike Wallace says, quote, I think the world has gone mad. But only these elders were thinking that.
Right.
As we heard, these fans, they were in heaven.
Right. It goes back to what we said a little bit earlier vis-a-vis Edwin Newman. That's clear evidence of the generational split.
Major. Absolutely.
We are listening to audio of how network television news in particular, covered the Beatles' first year in America, at least their introduction to the American scene, audio courtesy of Phil Grice.
Of archival television audio, ATBAudio.com. This segment with Phil originally aired in January 2014 to commemorate the then 50th anniversary of the Beatles' first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. One more item if you're like me and want to eat better this year. Our friends at Factor have more than 35 inexpensive, pre-prepared, ready-to-heat and ready-to-eat, chef-crafted, restaurant-quality, and dietitian-approved meals that will make eating better every day fun and delicious, and your weekly meal planning a whole lot easier with no prepping, no cooking, and no cleanup necessary. Check it out yourself by going to factormeals.com/talktv50. If you go to factormeals.com/talktv50, you'll find more than 35 different options a week to choose from that are ready to eat and, best of all, less expensive than takeout. Sign and save right now by going to factormeals.com/talktv50 and use code TALKTV50 to get 50% off your order. Factormeals.com/talktv50. Use promo code TALKTV50 to get 50% off your order. That's code TALKTV50 at factormeals.com/TALKTV50 to get 50% off.
Hi, everybody. This is your cousin, Brucey, and you are listening to TV Confidential. And now, not confidential, here's Cousin Ed.
In a previous segment, we played a segment of the Beatles' appearance on The Sullivan Show. Later that night on CBS, on the CBS Sunday night, late night evening news, CBS did another report on the Beatles.
This was a very interesting piece of audio that I found in the archive. Here we have CBS Sunday Late News with Harry Reasoner, and at the end, typically Eric Severide would give a commentary. And the night of February 9th, after the Beatles had appeared live on television on the Ed Sullivan Show, Severide comes on with his commentary, and it's quite interesting to go back 50 years and listen to his point of view with regard to his appraisal of the Beatles.
The British Beatles broke out here in New York on top of an epidemic of the German measles. Unlike measles, Beatles strikes teenagers almost exclusively, but the symptoms are the same. Fever and an itching rash that produces contortions on the part of the victim. The Beatles have drawn bigger and happier crowds than did President Johnson on any of his visits to New York City. They are living at the elegant Edwardian Hotel Plaza. Until now, the most precipitous action observed there has been the growth of the potted palms, and the plaza is taking it hard. The four Beatles wear what was described when women did it as the rusty hacksaw hairdo. They play electrified guitars, banjos, and other things. They also sing, but this is not regarded as essential because the Bobby Soxers in the audience provide most of the sounds. Critics disagree as to whether their harmony is diatonic or pandiatonic. Political historians disagree as to their social significance. One school holds that they are an expression of isolationism from world affairs. In other words, Britain, fairly withdrawn into her island now, is behaving as we did in our isolationist 20s and 30s when we produced flagpole sitters and goldfish swallowers. Another school takes the view that the Beatles are a form of reverse lend-lease, done in revenge for the Americanization of England through Coca-Cola, skyscrapers, and horse operas. In these matters, Britain is currently enjoying a favorable balance of trade. Of 26 Broadway stage productions recently, 8 were predominantly British. There are rather few American actors working in London, and Actors' Equity wants a little more cooperation. The arrival of the Beatles suggests another matter for Anglo-American cooperation. Both countries have a society for the prevention of cruelty to children, as well as one for the prevention of cruelty to animals, but neither has a society for the prevention of cruelty to adults.
Eric Severide weighing in with his thoughts on the Beatles' impact on America from a report that originally aired February 9th, 1964, on the CBS Sunday Late Night News, a couple of hours after the Beatles' appearance live on the Ed Sullivan Show, also on CBS television. And again, it's interesting. What one of the common themes of our conversation is just looking at, you know, I don't want to say resistance, but again, it goes back to the cultural gap between one generation and another. Severide used the term pandiotonic, which is a musical term. I'm not a musical scholar, and I'm just making a quick reference here. But if I have the distinction correctly, diatonic has to do with a classical harmonic composition. Pandiotonic is like the opposite of that, which is I guess, noise. So.
And he also stated something so incorrectly. He mentioned that they also play the banjo. I don't know where he got that from. And I love the fact that he says a reverse lend-lease. And at the end, prevention for cruelty of adults.
Yeah. Well, we were talking amongst each other before we started recording. There are still adults today who believe the Beatles are a fad. Now, I'm no expert on these things, but I would think if something continues to endure 50 years after the fact, I think you've passed the fad stage.
There are always those people out there, Ed. Yes. There are people who don't believe Columbus ever existed. So, you know, we take it for granted that there are always exceptions out there. But most of us, we really now appreciate what the Beatles were able to contribute in the way of music and changing the population culture.
Well, one guy who did not appreciate the Beatles' impact on American music and American popular culture was a radio host named Barry Gray, who did a... Now, was he a talk show host or was
yes,
he a news commentator?
Yes, he was a talk show host. He had guests on. He had all kinds of different subjects that were discussed, usually late night. And here we're going to, again, have another example. Barry Gray editorializing his feeling about the poverty of our musical taste. And this was the following night, February 10th, 1964.
Much more difficult to talk to the Beatles than it is with President Johnson. They arranged tonight a press conference, in quotes, which took 2 hours. I mean, there were 2 hours given over to the various people in town to interviewing the Beatles. I understand that the guest list comprised 120. Which figured out means that even if you ran them through on a transmission belt, each interviewer would get exactly 1 minute. And I'm hard-pressed to understand how you can get anything from the Beatles in 1 minute, although I must confess that it only took President Roosevelt 7 minutes to declare war on Japan. I don't imagine it would take me more than a minute to declare war on the Beatles. As a matter of fact, having seen last night's Ed Sullivan show in its entirety, and I want to state here and now, he owes me money for that experience, and I don't work cheap for that kind of a program, I would find it comparatively easy to declare absolute conflagration in about 15 seconds. I would start with barber shears. I hear that they're very interesting young men. They're well-educated. They have good musical background. They speak wonderfully. They're most literate. They read the newspapers. They look upon this whole thing as kind of a gag, and I'm delighted to hear it because I feel exactly the same way, and so we're together.
Barry Gray weighing in with his 2 cents on the appearance of the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show from commentary that originally aired on WMCA Radio February 10th, 1964. Now, part of what a talk show host does, it says stuff to invoke listener response to pick up the phone and either agree or in this case, disagree with him. So he's trying to work up the audience, correct?
Oh, yeah, and very effectively yeah. So. I love when he said that Ed Sullivan now owes him money because he literally watched the complete broadcast.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the chutzpah on his part, like others, where the Beatles were basically, as he stated, they are a gag or they're short term. I mean, that was the mindset.
That was the mindset, but because we are a full service radio talk show about television and we try to present both sides, we've got 2 more clips that Phil has put together for us that show the other side of the equation, and we will play those clips and more when we play part 2 of our special edition of The Sounds Lost Television from January 2014, how Network TV News covered the arrival of the Beatles in February 1964, next week on TV Confidential. We hope you join us for that. In the meantime, take a quick time out. Then legendary record producer Simon Napier Bell will join us right after this. Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net.
tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/tvconfidential, x.com/tvconfidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.